All right, it's 3 past the hour. I think I propose we get started. So this is the 10th conference call with the TLD Ops Standing Committee. I sent you guys the agenda, which contains 8 agenda items for today. So this is opening and welcome. Then we have the action points, TLD Ops status and operational issues. We have a short discussion on the we'll have a short discussion on the workshop results and the priorities following from that. Item number 4, there's an input document that I shared with you all, I think about a week ago. A discussion on the organization of the TLD Ops workshop at ICANN 59, so that will be in Johannesburg. And then the TLD Ops membership update procedure, the document for which I also sent on the list some time ago. And then finally, summary and any other business. Okay. So then let's go ahead and start with the action points. So the first one is to get into touch with the regional organizations. This has actually been a, let's say, somewhat lengthy and painful process. I think the last time we spoke about doing this, we spoke about doing a webinar for the LAC region, and perhaps Fred, did you manage to get into touch with what's his name again?
Andres.
Excuse me.
Yes, I did. It's Andres.
Oh yeah.
His name is Andres. Yes. I entered in contact with him, but with very little. Response. So, I will try to talk to the president of Black TLD. So, I will scale the issue.
Okay. My proposal would be to actually take this action point off the list because it's been there for more than a half year, and I think this is something that we all need to keep in the back of our heads that if we get to meet somebody from the regional organizations, then let's reach out to them and try to set up this webinar. Okay?
Okay.
So if you could, let's say, try to reconnect with this person from the person that you tried to contact, then please go ahead, Fred, because that would be really good.
Okay.
Okay, so then we have two of my action points to update the leaflet and the website. I haven't done this yet because I don't think it's a really high-priority thing. In the meantime, the action point has been open for quite some time. So let me take that one on in the next period. It's not a whole lot of work, just need to sit down and do it. So that's 43 and 48. Both are updates of the leaflet and the website. Then we have 57 on providing feedback on the draft TLD Ops membership procedure. That's what we did. We did that back in Copenhagen, so that action point is done. Action point 60, write a summary of the various calls and the TLD Ops. I'm sorry, write a summary on the March 6th call. That's something I also did. 61 is to share a workshop summary. That's something I did as well. 62, share high-level abstract of the workshop with CCNSO, SSEC, and RSSEC. Oh, I didn't share it with RSSEC. I just realized that. So I should send it to Wes, right? He was at the workshop.
Yep, send it to Wes, probably easiest.
Yeah, sorry, I completely forgot about it. I sent it to the CCNSO and SSEC, and I forgot RSSEC.
No worries, I'm sure they're not going to be too freaked out.
Too pissed off, huh? Okay. So I'll close that action point because I'll do it right away tonight. Then 63 is to decide on a new maximum number of subscribers per CCTLD for the list, and that's something that we need to discuss during this call. And then I had one missing action point, which was a summary of the survey, because we conducted a survey just before the Copenhagen meeting, and that's something I still need to do. So that's something I also need to add to the list of action points. All right. So those were the action points for now. Then the next agenda item is TLD ops status and operational issues. Kim, any news there? Anything to report?
You may be on mute.
I was on mute. Sorry about that. Let me pull up my updates here. So after the meeting, we did get several requests to update contacts or add new contacts, remove contacts. It may have been as a result of our vetting of people for the workshop, how we didn't let people in if they weren't on the mailing list, that kind of thing. So we did receive several updates. Two new ones, we had .gp Guadalupe was added. .iq Iraq, still need to follow up with them. They did not include their admin contact. I sent another email to them on 4/21 asking that the admin contact let us know this is okay. Still have not heard back from them. And then just last week, .pe Peru was sent an email requesting us to subscribe some people. Unfortunately, the person who was moderating that mailing list, the secretariat mailing list, accidentally deleted that email. I have followed up a couple times to Peru, so I'll continue to chase them. And then I got a procedural question for the group. I did have one person email the TLD ops, and you guys may have seen the bounces. Oh, actually, I'm the admin for this one. Asking to be removed. I CC'd that person. I replied back to that person, CC'd their admin, asking them to confirm whether this person should be removed or not, and I haven't heard back. Do I continue to chase the admin, or should I go ahead and remove this person? I don't know procedurally where I should go with this person.
Yeah, I think the procedure that we at least defined in the updated membership document, the procedure that we put in the membership update procedure is that we would send the email to CC the admin contact and also CC any other subscribers of that CCTLD that were still on the list.
Okay, good. Thanks for the clarification. I'll go ahead and do that as well. And then, so we're still waiting for Iraq, and then hopefully Peru will get back to us soon.
Yeah, that would be great, because then we would have two LAC CCTLDs on the list.
Yeah.
So Guadalupe and this one in Peru.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Kim. So, Erwin, did you manage to talk to Greenland at the Copenhagen meeting?
I did not.
No, okay. Could you perhaps try to drop them an email anytime in a little bit in a few days?
I seem to have missed the contact, so I don't know.
I'm asking because they're the only CCTLD from the North American region that we're still missing. And a while ago, they were interested in joining, but they didn't really follow through.
I currently don't have an active contract. So I hope we'll get one soon, but not at the moment. I seem to have confused a bit the Faroe Islands.
Okay.
So this is Warren. I wonder if anybody's tried asking Willifer. Isn't he? Oh no, sorry, he's from Iceland.
Iceland, yeah.
Yeah. They're kind of close together. Maybe it's with us and him anyway. I haven't tried to do that.
Yeah. There's a lot. It's cold and they're close together, but it's different countries. Yeah. Okay.
Not that close.
Erwin, you currently don't have any contact with Greenland. That's what you're saying, right?
No.
Okay.
I'll try to follow up and find an active contact again.
Okay. Thanks. Cool.
And for the record, I can't see Greenland from my window, from my house here.
You can or you can't?
You can't.
Oh.
I tried.
Okay. Thanks for trying. All right, so that was it, I think, on the teleop status and operational issues. So thanks, Kim. Then let's move on to the workshop results. There's a document that I sent you guys. Where do I have it? It's over here. So it's basically a long list of, you know, the items that were on the flip charts as far as I could read them. And I reformulated them a little bit sometimes because they were, you know, so that they would be in the form of, you know, recommendations or suggestions. And I tried to classify them into six groups. So common practices, community building, mailing lists, real-time communications, emergency DNS services, and threat intelligence. And I think that the my proposal with this list, to go ahead with this list, would be that each of the standing committee members has a look at it and then send me their top three suggestions that we would, need to pick up first. And then in particular, focusing on the low-hanging fruit, so to speak. So, for instance, if you look at the items that are in the group threat intelligence or in the group emergency DNS services, I think these are much more difficult to achieve. But there's also some low-hanging fruit in there. And another alternative might be to just have to also look at the more difficult the more advanced features, so to speak, and prioritize them as well. What do you guys think?
One angle I was thinking of classifying the item is according to the security framework. So there's a framework, the operational framework for security. You need to identify, protect, detect, respond, recover. So that's a standard life cycle for security.
Uh-huh.
And maybe also classify each one of them according to those.
Okay.
And then,
yep.
So that would align the workshop with a framework. And then I was thinking of putting that in PowerPoint and see what it looks like.
Yeah, that actually makes sense because then we couple the results of the workshop with more the kind of activities that people would do in their day-to-day job, so to speak.
Yeah. Because when you're under a DDoS, you're in the respond phase.
Yeah.
But there's all the other things you need to do around to make sure that you can protect yourself and all that. So.
Yeah. So to me that makes sense. That makes sense.
But that's work. So that's a couple of hours of work to classify those.
Yeah. So would you be willing to take that action point, Jacques?
Oh yeah. I'm planning to do that on the plane somewhere.
Okay. So if I send you the Excel file, then you can edit.
You already
it.
Did?
I already did. Oh, okay. I forgot. Already did. That's right. Yeah. So if you just add a column to the table, then that would help. And then
so that's my to-do.
Yeah. So then your proposal would be to per phase basically classify, basically prioritize the different suggestions.
Classify based on a framework category.
Yeah. But within those, let's say, the components of that framework, we will need to, you know, like detect and mitigate and whatever else. We will need to prioritize saying, okay, this is the thing that we're going to pick up first, and this is the one that we're going to do second, and that sort of stuff.
Okay, yeah. I'll do a first pass at priority.
Yeah.
And then we can look at them.
Yeah, that was my question, actually. Yeah. Great, thanks. So, let me make some notes. Where? Just a minute.
Are you okay, everybody, with the framework? I think it's a SANS.
I think so.
It's a SANS framework for security, the cybersecurity framework from SANS, so pretty much a standard.
Yep. Yeah, it provides more structure to the relatively unstructured list that we have. And I think at some point, I think this will also help removing duplicates, but there's because I think there's also some duplicate suggestions in there. But that, I think that will follow from the exercise of putting this list into the framework.
And the other thing is that we need to look at gaps, right? Because operationally, we focus on what's important, the respond part. But there's other items which are very important that probably have been overlooked.
What do you mean? Can you give an example?
In the respond, maybe, or in the identify. No, protect. We might not have thought about how to protect against a DDoS.
Oh, okay. I know what you mean. Right.
Because we focus, there's a lot of focus on responding, from what I can see, but we'll see once I categorize everything.
Yep. Okay. Let's do that first. Great. Okay, so thanks, Jock. And we'll wait for your input there. All right, so... I think that kind of wraps up the discussion on the workshop, right? Because we're going to wait for your input, Jacques, and then then take the next step. So let's go to the organization of the TLD Ops workshop at ICANN 59. So my first question was, we asked the question at the end of the workshop in Copenhagen. Okay, was this useful? And then everybody raised their hands. And then we also considered organizing the workshop again at ICANN 59. But at the same time, ICANN 59 is also a policy workshop, so a policy meeting. So that means it's only 4 days, I think, and not everybody might show up. So I was also wondering what you guys as a group think about doing, let's say, the TLD Ops workshop at every ICANN meeting, or maybe we should just pick the A and C meetings, for example, or just the A meeting or whatever.
So this is Warren. I think just doing A and C or just A or one of that makes more sense, because I think otherwise it's going to become, it'll lose some of its sort of interest, I think, and we'll instead start to feel more like a, you know, getting on the treadmill yet again. But I might be wrong, right? Because there is also the CCTLD or, you know, Tech Day and things like that, which provide some sort of social interaction, not quite with the same set of people, but similar.
Yeah. That was my hunch as well. That's why I asked the question. And also there is a practical limitation, which is that there's only 4 days during the B meeting. And there's no real possibility to have a meeting outside of those 4 days. So we can do it on the Sunday, for example. So there's also some practical concerns.
I think the reasoning for doing it at all meetings was to make sure we have geographic coverage. But I'm assuming that the ABC meetings are going to be moved around between the different regions as well. So I think it would be a good idea to only do it at 2 meetings a year. It's also a heck of a lot of work to do it 3 times a year.
Yep. What do the others think?
I agree.
You agree with A and C?
I agree as well.
A or A and C, but not A, B, C, D.
Yeah.
A, B, C.
Perhaps only A or only once a year.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, just once a year. Okay.
Okay.
And so, worst come to worst, on the B, we could do a specific topic to look at, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, my problem with the B meeting is that A, it's short, so and there's very little opportunity to organize a workshop during those 4 days, and also the number of people might be a lot less than during the A and B meetings. I think that's what we also saw last year in, I think it was Finland, when there were fewer people than during the A and B meetings. So perhaps we should just opt for just organizing a workshop at the A meeting.
Yep, sounds good to me. Yep. Sorry, was muted.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree as well.
Okay, thank you, Fred. So just the A meeting. Okay, got that. Okay, well, that certainly shortens that action, that agenda item. So then let's move on to the review of the TLD Ops membership procedure, membership update procedure. I sent you guys an updated document a few weeks ago, which basically contains or incorporates the feedback, the things that we discussed in Copenhagen. And I think there is two major things that we need to discuss. I assume you guys had a look at the changes. I think there is one. The first issue that we have, the first issue that we need to talk about, is the maximum number of subscribers per member CCTLD that we allow on the list. That's currently the maximum of 3, but we've had requests of adding more people, so maybe 4 or 5, or even more. And the second issue is actually the, well, what it comes down to is the secondary email address, so enabling every subscriber to add a secondary email address and to regularly solicit subscribers to update their requests, their contact information. And this was actually a suggestion that came from Kim Davies a while ago. The problem with that, with the secondary email address and the regularly solicitation of update requests, is that it will require changes to the TLD Ops script, for one. And also, the secondary email address will double the number of subscribers on the list. So that's also something we need to be aware of. And there's going to be more email addresses that we need to keep up to date. And that might also potentially increase the number of bounces that we receive. Because now, for every subscriber, we will need to keep track of 2 email addresses rather than just 1.
The observation is the mailing system we have doesn't support more than we have. If we want to do more, I think we're at the point where we need to have account management and people can manage their own email addresses, and we need a better system to do more. The answer is, I think, yes, we want to do more, but not on our current mailman.
No.
Well, my suggestion would be to subscribe the secondary email address as a, non-email thingy. So we don't send the mailing list email to the secondary email address. It doesn't receive any email, so we won't get any bounces for them. It also means we don't find out if they're not working anymore.
So that means you would only be able to send emails from those addresses, not receive anything.
I would more use it in the contact repository and not as a mailing list address.
Okay. Oh, okay. Now I know what you mean. Okay.
It would only be added to the. You could also add it just to the description of the name and address and telephone number.
Yep.
But. I mean, sorry, Christian, spread. The secondary address is optional, yes?
It is.
So another one use that could be done to the secondary address is like distribution list for CC that wants to have many more users internally. Anyway, any proc mail in on any of the subscribed addresses could be used as a distribution point for a large internal group if they need to share with more people. I really don't see any gain with those changes besides the fact that trying to accommodate some special requirement from some of our CC members. So I will not see any reason to change the current procedure. Practical reason.
Yeah. I think this request came from scenarios like the one that we've seen with Turkey and then later on in, what was it, in Africa somewhere, where the whole TLD was unreachable. And then people could not send or receive email from their CCTLD's extension anymore. And that's why people requested a secondary email address, so that they could maybe use Yahoo address.
In a situation like that, what you will use actually is to adopt other communication methods, like the cell phone numbers that we have.
Text.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
Text or whatever.
Yeah,
so.
Yep.
That's also why my suggestion was to just add it to the description as an optional field besides the telephone number. And not use it for mail traffic, or mailing list traffic, but just as informational information. If something happens, contact someone at a secondary address.
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's simple.
Yeah, that. Yeah, I think it's a better option than to add more complication to the system.
Yeah.
But
if we do it the way that Erin proposed, then the primary email address will be the one that's subscribed to the list, and the secondary email address, which is optional, will not be subscribed on the list, but it will be included in that email that we're sending out every month. And so as a result, this information will somehow also need to be included in that script, right?
This information could be included on the name of the subscriber, as we include the cell phone number and the other information, like the CCTLD that it's related to. We actually abuse of the name field of the mailman.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so shall we do it like that for the secondary email address?
I'm not 100% sure that we could put email addresses on that field, but I guess it will work.
Can you test that somehow, Fred?
Yeah, any of our admin members can do that. So I can test it.
Okay. Thanks.
I will do it on another mailing list, but I will report back to you guys.
Okay, great. Thank you. So let me make a note here. Okay. Excellent. Okay. So that was actually point B of agenda item number 6, the secondary email address. And what do we think about the regular solicitation of sending out emails once every 3 months, I think. Every quarter, every 3 months to ask them to check their contact information. So in addition to the monthly emails, we would also send out an email every quarter to ask people to update their contact information.
So this is Warren. I'm assuming that that will include information on how they should update it if it's gotten out of date. Okay, cool.
Yep. The question I have now, now that I read it again, is how would this be different from the regular update requests that we send out, or the regular information that we send out every month?
But because one of them people will actually read it, the other they won't, I think. Right, one of them is that it comes in really often, and so people look at it and go, the other one is less common, and so gets noticed, maybe.
But eventually we're going to send out monthly, so it's going to be, or quarterly, so it's going to be regular, right?
Yeah, it's going to be once every 3 months. At least in the current proposal, in my current proposal. So this was a suggestion that was made by Kim Davies a while ago, and he said, okay, we authenticate email addresses at the beginning using when people join, so by CCing their INM in contact, but we never verify them again. That was his feedback. But in a way, sending out the monthly emails is also an implicit request to update your contact information. Because if we send out these quarterly emails as well, then it will be 12 emails a year plus another four that are actually quite similar, asking people to update their contact information.
Nah, we don't need to do that. And the one change email addresses won't get the email, right? So,
yeah.
Perhaps if we could automate the system, once a year, the admin and technical contact for the CC receives an email with the members of their CC on the POD Ops mailing list and request for a confirmation. I think it would be a better approach for the scheme recommendation, but actually this needs to be done manually. So I.
Yep.
Does Mailman have a feature to validate email?
It does, but only on subscription. As far as I know. And I raised my hand because I already tested the feature, and it's totally doable to put a secondary email address on the member's name as a secondary email contact. So
oh, okay. You already
definitely
tested
doable.
It.
Yes, I already tested it.
That was quick.
So I was actually just going to suggest the same thing Fred just said about the yearly mail to the admin contact with the list of all subscribers, but we need to find out how we can implement it with mail.
Yeah, the problem is that someone would need to send those mails. If we can do the names of the members on the mailing list on a completely fixed way, that we could definitely do a program, automate a program to do that. But if you guys take a look at the current list, they are not completely on a standard way. Some have commas, some have other separators, and so it's almost standard, but not completely.
No.
We're in total control, so we can fix all the discrepancies, right?
Yes, we can. But we will need to have some manual intervention.
Yes.
And also, another aspect is, let's assume that we send out this email once a year to the IANA admin contacts. What happens? What do we do if they don't respond? Do we consider them unconfirmed, and do we remove everyone from the list who doesn't respond?
Huh.
It depends on what we are looking for. Just an egg is okay, or do we need a positive confirmation with like the I don't know.
I don't think we'll get a positive confirmation from all subscribed countries.
No, me neither.
So I don't think that we can make it a requirement. Would certainly be nice if we got some, but...
Okay, well, let's see, how do we proceed here? So we at least agreed that the quarterly email doesn't make a whole lot of sense because it doesn't add much compared to the monthly email that we send out.
I agree.
So
yeah,
the only
agree.
Question is, what do we
yep.
do? Can we still do something once a year? Okay, I'll put that as a note in the document to think about. Or maybe we should the other alternative is to maybe what we should do, let's do it like this. Perhaps we should remove Section 4, which is soliciting update requests for now, and then share the document with the TLD Ops community so that people at least have something in their hands if they want to change their contact information, that they have some guidance. And then in parallel, we can think about, let's say, the once-a-year reminder. Would that make sense? Because I think it's important to get this document out to the community so that they know what to do when they need to update their contact information.
Yes, I agree.
I agree.
Okay. So we'll do that. I'll make a note of that. So we'll take out Section 4. So then I'll finalize the document without Section 4 and send it on the mailing list. We still have 6A, which is the maximum number of subscribers per member CCTLE. So we currently set that to 3 and taking requests to actually release that maximum, that upper bound, to, I don't know, maybe 6 or 9 or something, or maybe no upper bound at all. How do we feel about that?
I have no issue with no upper bound at all.
Kim? It's more work for you?
Yeah, I have no problems at all.
The only thing is that as we have just talked about the standard format for the name, we will need to agree on that, on it, and maybe we can construct a new small script to validate the ones that we have and flag out the ones that we need to fix. And
yes.
We need to pick a format that is the one that is most used, so we can do the minimal
yep.
fix, manual fix on the ones that we have.
Yep. Is this something you would want to do, Fred?
Yes, I can do that. I will find some time this week and I will hack some small scripts for that.
Okay, cool. Thanks. So, do we also agree then that we're going to get rid of the upper bound of the maximum number of subscribers? And then we'll leave it up to the CCTLD to decide how many people they want to subscribe.
Let's put a number, though. 10? Somebody could be adding everybody in their company.
Yeah, you're right. OK. Okay.
You never know.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's set it to 10.
The problem is that this is an arbitrary number, and then people will tell that, oh, 10 is too low, blah, blah, blah. And so if we are...
If someone is more than 10, I'd be really happy to hear why.
But yeah. If we are arbitrarily picking a number, let's double what we have today. So it's more than enough.
Yeah. And you can say next to it, it's negotiable.
I'm fine either way.
Negotiable for beers.
Yeah. All right,
I think we did say it was an arbitrary number. We wanted to find out if people needed more. So I'd say 5 or more. I'm happy with that. Let's set a number.
Yeah, let's double it to 6.
Yeah, deal.
Okay.
Deal. Okay, great. So that was action item that was agenda item number 6. And as I said before, I will update the document accordingly and remove section 4 and share it on the list so that people know what to do when they want to update their contact information. Okay. So that basically brings us to agenda item number 7, which is the summary for the community. I think the major issues are how we will proceed with the workshop results, that we will not organize the workshop at ICANN 59, but instead only do it at A meetings, and also motivate why we do that. And then also briefly mention the update of the update procedure, and that we'll be sharing that on the list shortly. I think those are basically the three main items that we talked about today. You guys agree?
Yep.
Sounds good.
All right. So that only leaves any other business. So let's make a quick round. Fred, any other business that we need to consider?
No.
Okay. Jacques?
Nope.
Okay. Erwin?
Nope.
Okay. Abibu? Okay, thank you, Abibu. Warren?
Nope.
Okay.
No, not for me.
Kim, anything else that we need to talk about?
I've got one quick one. I had the workshop penciled in for blocks 1 and 2 on day 4. Any objections using one of those blocks for the face-to-face work group meeting?
That was on day 4. That's the Thursday, right?
Thursday, correct.
Yeah.
Either block 1 or 2, we can have the work group meeting at that time.
Yeah, I think that will be okay.
Okay,
don't know what else is on the schedule, so I can't really make an informed decision, but Thursday sounds all right.
And that was it for me.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. So I had no other items either. So I think that with that, we can close the call. And maybe, Kim, could you schedule a new call for in about a month?
Yep, I can do that. Thanks.
Okay. Great. So thanks, everyone. And I'll be sharing the summary with you all in probably in the second half this week somewhere.
All right.
Cool.
All right.
All right.